preview of Powerful Women Revealed.
And welcome to WATD's Powerful Women Revealed, sponsored by Nicole Perry. You're invited to enjoy an ongoing series of uplifting, educational, and intimate discussions with a variety of powerful women that have all made the commitment to take their businesses and organizations to a higher level. These entrepreneurs all have a mission and appreciate the opportunity to share their stories with you. These women reveal their inspirations, milestones, and successes with your host, Nicole Perry.
Good afternoon and welcome to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and today we're talking all about health and wellness. My guest is the president of a nonprofit organization she founded called Ovarian Cancer 101, and this is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. She is also the New England Regional Coordinator for the Survivors Teaching Students Program through the Ovarian Cancer Research Fund Alliance. Her personal story has guided her on a journey to educate women about the subtle symptoms of ovarian cancer. Diane Rishi, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I said your last name correctly.
Rishi, yes.
Rishi! Oh, I forgot.
I answered all of them.
I know. It's R-I-C-H-E, but yes. It is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. So if you're listening and you have a woman in your life, or you are a woman, this is a really important show to hear.
It's critical.
Yeah, critical. And you have your own personal experience. So you created ovariancancer101.org.
Yes.
And this was back in November of 2010. Mm-hmm. How did your personal story lead you to creating this particular nonprofit organization?
My mom passed away in 2010 from ovarian cancer. Mm-hmm. And didn't know that anything was wrong. She lived downstairs from me. We had an in-law apartment. I saw her every single day. And honestly, there was no sign that she was sick or anything until one day we found her laying on the floor and she was hallucinating.
So no signs of anything, nothing before
nothing.
That day.
Nothing.
Because I read that on your website.
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple, you know, again, everything's different with the gift of hindsight, but at that point, there was nothing at all wrong with her. So, you know, we called an ambulance. We took her to the hospital, and I had told them that she had said she maybe had fallen and hit her head. So they did a CAT scan, at which point they found a mass in her brain. And the original thinking was that she had breast cancer in 2002.
Okay.
So the thinking was it was probably not uncommon for, you know, metastatic breast cancer to go to the brain. So that was, you know, the first few days that was the thinking.
It's not uncommon.
For breast cancer to go to the brain, it's not.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she had the surgery, she had the tumor removed, and then the pathology came back.
She had the brain surgery.
She did. And
okay.
It was something we had to work on. Or she was a little, her judgment, at that point you could really see the judgment was a little clouded and everything like that. So we had to a little convincing.
Yeah.
She was scared. You know, nobody wants them cutting into your head.
Mm-hmm.
So it came back that it was ovarian cancer.
And how quickly did that information, how did that, what was that timeline? I mean, she had that surgery.
It was within a day after the surgery.
That
it
came
back. You
know,
that they said that, you know, it was ovarian cancer. And I, you know those things in your life that you remember
vividly.
Vividly every emotion that went with every word you said. And my first thought was, how did this happen?
Yeah.
How do you have, first of all, two primary cancers? She was already a breast cancer survivor.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't know that, you know, even there was a connection, but let alone that, sadly, a lot of people get, especially if they've been treated for another cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just eye-opening. And when they said it, I went online, like most people do.
Mm-hmm.
And the first website I came to was the Ovarian Cancer Research Fund Alliance. Mm-hmm. They had this banner, and it said, "Know your body, know the symptoms."
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, what symptoms? You know, we grew up in the generation that it was a symptomless disease, a silent killer.
Mm. Why is there the misconception that it's symptomless?
Well, because the symptoms are so benign that, it, again, like hindsight, you know, you don't, as you're experiencing
they correlate
them
to other,
so many
other ailments and diseases.
Yeah,
okay, all
exactly.
right.
Exactly.
So that's why it's like a hidden thing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's no, you know, visible thing. And I read the symptoms and I was like, bloating. I'm like, I could remember my mother saying multiple times,
yeah,
I'm so bloated. Well, Mom, you know, you're changing your diet. You're trying to eat better. So she was eating, you know, more high fiber foods. I'm like, that's probably all it is.
Mm.
You know, as I went through the list, the four major ovarian cancer symptoms, she'd had all of them.
And it's not like you're dismissing them. Because we're educated people. And, you know, you knew that she had changed her diet.
Yeah.
So it's not like you were just dismissing it. It was sort of like you made that connection and you were like, oh, it's because you changed your diet, you know.
Who thinks of bloating and goes, I'm bloated, it must be cancer.
Yeah.
You know, you
exactly.
just, most of us don't do it.
So the statistics are alarming, frankly, shocking, eye-opening. 89% of women were unaware of the symptoms before being diagnosed.
Yes.
And then 81%, and you said, I love how you say the gift of hindsight. You said, I read 81% realized in hindsight that the symptoms did exist.
Exactly.
So what are those four top, because I know there's their top 10, but I love, and we're jumping ahead a little bit, I was going to share this later, but what are the four top symptoms?
The four most commonly reported among women with ovarian cancer are bloating.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just, you know, a bloating that maybe comes and goes with a meal or something like that. It's persistent, and it stays with you, and it's different. You know, you feel different.
Yeah. You're very aware of it.
Yeah.
Like constant.
I've heard women say they were fine one day, and 2 days later, they couldn't button their pants. You know, it's just It's a different kind. It's a persistent bloating because a lot of people I'm bloated, and we don't want to alarm people.
Yeah.
We just want to educate them.
Yes.
So, you know, if you're just bloated today and it's gone tomorrow, but if it kind of sticks with you, it's something to think about.
Yes. Okay. So bloating.
Yep.
I love the whole acronym BEAT.
Yep. Beat ovarian cancer.
Yep. So what does the E stand for?
E is for eating troubles, eating difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
Most women report that they may be a little hungry and they'll start to eat and then they're just full.
Mm.
They're full very, very quickly.
Yeah, real fast.
Yes.
Mm. Okay.
The A is for abdominal and pelvic pain.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they can be very vague, confused with acid reflux, you know, irritable bowel, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the T.
Trouble with your bowel or bladder. Urinary changes are the most common, but there is reports of, you know, constipation. And
okay, so I love how you said this so eloquently at the chamber event I met you at, and you said it changes in your bathroom habits.
Yeah.
So very, very, very quick changes. Or abrupt changes, possibly.
Definitely. The key is when it's new for you.
Mm, okay.
You know, and that's something a lot of women are misdiagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome, but it's really not that common for a woman to be diagnosed with that at 50 or 60 years old.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of a telltale sign, you know, that, you know, when something's really new and different for you, to pay attention and really talk to your doctor.
Mm. Especially if you're having more than one thing change.
Exactly.
There might be that connection.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, we do have to go to a quick break. My guest is, say it again, Rishi?
Riche.
Is it French? I should
My
know
My mother-in-law
this.
Said it was.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm French, so I should know this. Okay, Diane Riche, which now I love how to say it correctly. You can go to ovariancancer101.org for more information. You are listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD.
Come to a faith-based cancer support group Tuesday, September 20th from 6:30 until 7:45. It'll take place at St. Mary of the Sacred Heart Parish Center on 392 Hanover Street, Hanover. This support group is open to all cancer survivors, male and female, Catholic and non-Catholic. The purpose of this group is to have people come together in prayer and fellowship, sharing experiences, stories, and offering comfort and support to one another. Contact facilitator Jean Levitt at 386-295-6402.
When faced with conflict, many people turn to court and expensive litigation, but there is a better way. At Whole Family Law and Mediation, they help their clients resolve conflict out of court using mediation and collaborative law. Couples can efficiently come to an agreement while preserving their emotional and financial resources and protecting their families. Whole Family Law and Mediation. Compassion, collaboration, resolution. Contact them today to see if mediation or collaborative law is right for you at wholefamilylaw.com.
If you're looking for visibility and building relationships that lead to ideal clients and career advancement, the South Shore Women's Business Network is for you. At the South Shore Women's Business Network, our mission is to foster relationships, provide mentorship, education, and build a community to empower women. Join us for after-hours networking events such as trivia, wine tasting, and mini golf. Attend a speaker breakfast with like-minded professionals, even publish an article or offer a workshop to the members. To join us, visit sswbn.org.
Days when I lived for my life was everything a man could want to do. I could never see the rain falls down. Tell me,
how can you stand?
Oh, sun
I'm shining.
What makes the world go round?
And we are back. You are listening to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry. And really, you lost your mom, and I'm very sorry about that.
Thank you.
You were living with her. As you said over the break, it wasn't perfect, but you were very close. And really, you're kind of mending your own broken heart by creating this foundation, this organization.
I felt driven. When she was diagnosed, and what I didn't say was that she passed away 4 weeks after diagnosis, 5 weeks after diagnosis.
Yes, and very fast.
You're not ready for that. You haven't even digested the diagnosis yet. You're still, and we did spend 5 weeks, preparing for a year or so of treatment and time, which we kind of thought we were going to have, and we didn't.
Yeah.
But I just, when it happened, I thought, How did this happen? We're both educated women, mm-hmm. and yet we still didn't know. And I just said to my husband, I'm like, this is what I have to do. I have to share this information now that I have it.
Mm. And you have a background working with ALS Foundation. What is?
I did that briefly. I worked with the ALS Family Charitable Foundation at Buzzards mm-hmm. Bay. Great organization. It was just difficult to do two nonprofit works at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
It was just difficult.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to give my all and to be fair, you know, to the organization I worked for, but felt compelled to do my own. Yeah. So.
And this is really your calling.
So, absolutely.
So, now what stage was she at?
My mother was stage four.
She was at stage four.
It was sadly, it was in her liver, her lungs, her lymph nodes, you know, as I said, her brain.
I didn't read any statistics about the different stages, but how soon are women usually diagnosed before they reach stage one? Do you know any of those statistics?
I have only met one person out of hundreds that diagnosed stage one.
Really?
A handful stage two. Mm. Three quarters of women are stage three. And most of them will tell you that, again, in hindsight, looking back, they will tell you, I would say the average is probably about 9 months. Women will say they've experienced these symptoms.
Over a nine-month period.
Right, before diagnosis.
Yeah, you know, so if you see those symptoms and you're feeling those symptoms and you're making that connection, you gotta go get checked out right away because you can possibly save your own life.
Absolutely. And we tell women too, I mean, in doctors, it's you can't fault the doctor for not jumping to ovarian cancer when a woman presents with these symptoms as well. So we tell women to, you know, really note that it's more than one symptom. It might be the bloating and the difficulty eating. Mm-hmm. And to flat ask the doctor to rule out ovarian cancer.
Yeah.
Ask them to rule it out.
You know, sort of like Lyme disease.
Yeah, you don't have time to just keep going through, well, it's this. It's irritable bowel. Here's the medication. 2 months later, you're not better. You know, so there isn't that time to do that. So, you know, ask your doctor.
And it's very shocking that you said it's the number one, hopefully I say this right, gynecological. Oh, I said it right. Number one gynecological killer.
It is.
So, and it goes hand in hand with breast cancer. I find that very fascinating. What are they finding? Why is there a correlation?
There's multiple reasons. The biggest one is one most women know or most people hear about is, you know, the BRCA mutation. That, you know, if you have a genetic disposition and that's the gene that's affected, it does affect breast and ovarian. Mm-hmm. And that's roughly 10 to 15% of women. They're starting to find other genetic mutations. Mm-hmm. You know, but the problem is now they have to find a test to test you for them. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely, and we've met hundreds of women, again, that have had both in their family. And while they may test negative right now for the known mutations, a genetic counselor will tell you that there's several out there that they just can't test for. They know they're there, but the tests just aren't available yet.
So it's just not available yet, which is also fascinating because almost every single cancer that's out there, there is a screening for.
Yes, there is not a screening test for ovarian cancer.
Well, and it's not like ovarian cancer is new.
No.
It's not new, so I don't understand why they are struggling. Is it because they call it the silent killer? It's because the symptoms are so close to all of those other things.
They just haven't yet discovered a reliable biomarker, you know, something to test for. You know, mammogram can give you a visual look.
Yes.
You know, and things like that. And there's blood
tests
for other cancers.
Why can't a sonogram give you a visual of the ovaries?
They do an ultrasound. You can have with the transvaginal ultrasound.
Well, sonogram's for babies, right? All right, sorry. Excuse me.
It's the same. It's the same technology. And for some women, there's not always a mass to be seen. My mother had a CAT scan and all the other imaging, and there was no visible, even at stage four, there was no visible mass. It's just the entire
Her ovaries.
Right.
So it went to the brain.
It went there, but her entire abdominal cavity was like coated. So you wouldn't see it necessarily as a mass. So that's the problem with diagnosing is there's no 100% guarantee you're gonna see it on a visual. Mm-hmm. There's some various blood tests that they can do, but there's so many false positives.
False positives.
And some women don't react. Mm-hmm. So right now there's just nothing that is being recommended other than
awareness
and knowing the symptoms.
So the ones that they are can possibly be misdiagnosed for is indigestion, loss of appetite, urinary frequency, lower back pain, sudden weight loss,
and vaginal bleeding, and those are in addition to the four we mentioned. Now let's say that BEAT again. BEAT, ovarian cancer, the BEAT stands for
bloating.
Okay.
Persistent, you know, ongoing bloating.
Mm-hmm. And then E is for
eating difficulty, feeling full quickly.
Okay.
A, abdominal or pelvic pain.
And then T,
trouble with your bladder or your bowels.
Okay. And so those are the top 10. Those are the top four in the word BEAT, and then the others are in the top 10.
The top four are, you know, particularly in conjunction with another, are fairly indicative. The others are really vague, and they just, you know, while they may occur, they're not necessarily more prevalent in women with ovarian cancer.
Okay, and I'm actually going to correct myself, because here are the things that you can be misdiagnosed with. So it's irritable bowel syndrome, it's premenopause, it's stress, acid reflux, which is kind of interesting, endometriosis and gallbladder issues, and there's even more.
There's more.
Yeah. It's really just sort of, so what do we need to do first if we are actually diagnosed? If someone's listening and they're putting two and two together right now, and what do you need to do first?
They absolutely need to have a conversation with their doctor.
Okay.
And something we do as an organization is, if you go to your doctor and they don't listen to you, we ask you to contact us. Sadly, it does happen.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So that you can give support.
We can give
and
support
guidance.
And we can provide them with like a symptom diary where they can really track their symptoms and kind of give it to their doctor in black and white.
Okay.
Kind of something that the doctor can see that, you know, this is an ongoing issue. It's not, you know,
okay,
kind of out of the blue thing.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope you'll stay with us. We do have to go to break. My guest is Diane Riche, and she created ovariancancer101.org. You are listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD.
Are you planning a wedding, bridal shower, anniversary, or other special event? Let Mama cook for you. The Mamma Mia's family of restaurants can handle all of your catering, so you can enjoy the same authentic Italian cuisine that you experience in their restaurants. Mamma Mia's catering offers homemade recipes priced to fit any budget. You can pick up your order before your event, or Mamma Mia's will even come to you. For more information, call any one of Mamma Mia's six locations or visit online at mammamias.net.
Looking for a new and affordable way to promote your business? Let Sprout Digital Network create an eye-catching 30-second commercial starring your business, playing all day long on high-def TVs placed inside popular local restaurants, including Mamma Mia's, Sushi Joy, and Lobster Hut. Reach 100,000 people per month. Spots are filling up fast, so contact Rachel now to lock out your competition. Go to SproutDigitalNetwork.com for more info. That's S-P-R-O-U-T, DigitalNetwork.com. We make you look good.
You know, every week you hear me talking with powerful women in and around the South Shore, and their stories totally inspire me. But you may not think that you have an inspiring story, but that's because you lived it. So I'd like to hear your story, because together we can get you more visibility and continue to inspire women here at PowerfulWomenRevealed.com.
I won't just survive. Oh, you will see me thrive. Can write my story. I'm beyond the archetype. I won't just conform. No matter how you shake my core, 'cause my roots, they run deep. Oh, oh yes, a little faith. Don't doubt it, don't doubt it. Victory is in my veins. I'll fight it, I'll fight it. I will
And we are back. You are listening to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry. And, you know, you're doing a lot of advocacy for women, for educating, everything. You're just doing so much, whether you've been diagnosed or not. How long has the Ovarian Cancer Research Fund Alliance been in place? And why did you decide to create your own .org?
The Ovarian Cancer Research Fund Alliance was formed about 20 years ago with five separate organizations across the country that got together to become that one voice for ovarian cancer.
Okay, sort of like Celiac. I interviewed the executive director, and that's kind of what they did. They kind of all formed, came together. So, so 20 years ago.
Yep, so 20 years ago. So after my mom died, you know, I looked at the options and things that I could do. I connected with another local group that had a big race and thought I would get involved with them. And then after their event, I was, you know, raring to go. You know, what are we going to do next? And, yeah, and where are we going to go? And that was...
You needed a place to pour your energy.
Exactly.
Because and they wanted it was to do so this, sudden for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They wanted to do this one race a year and raise money for research, which is fantastic, but I needed to do more. And there are several, there was at the point, there were three national organizations, but none of them would give me the autonomy. I wanted the autonomy to do what I wanted, when I wanted, because I didn't want to be limited. That education needs to be out there. Mm. And I didn't want to worry about trademarks and corporate and things like that. So I just decided to...
To get the word out there.
Yeah, I'll work with all of them. You know, okay. And I didn't want to be limited by anything.
Okay, within your own... reach within your own presence.
In our community, you know, I wanted to be able to do and focus maybe on the unique things about, you know, where we're at, you know, things like that. So,
okay. Which basically what you're doing is you're doing all speaking engagements and, you know, you're putting out public displays in different local venues. And just lots of things. What are the cards? You have symptom cards.
We have symptom cards, and they're just a quick little, like a business card. Mm-hmm. And it has just a little bit of information. The symptoms are there, quick little thing of statistics, and contact information. And we hand them out. We actually have people order them through our website all over the country. But we hand them out personally. If we go to a restaurant, it gets left with our bill when we pay. Mm. You know, when we check out at a register in a store, we hand them a symptom card.
Okay.
And so that's, you know, some of that's where, you know, why we do fundraising is so that we can, you know, keep those things in print.
Mm-hmm. So what are you doing on the different levels? You're doing things on the local level, the state level, and the national level to bring the awareness. How are you working with the different folks out there, like with local and with state?
With the local is really just the focus on the educating and trying to get some kind of movement going in our own community. Okay. Because it needs to be something all women need to jump on board with. And make it a community. It's kind of like the saying, it takes a village. Mm. You know, it's going to take a group of people to get involved. On the state level, I've been appointed to the Massachusetts Ovarian Cancer Commission.
Okay.
Which is something through the governor's office. And we're trying to look at ovarian cancer and what can we do to change the death rates and what needs to be done here in the state.
Okay, if you can't get the screening.
Right, exactly.
Like, you know, hopefully there will be some kind of screening that comes to play.
Massachusetts has the 13th highest death rate from ovarian cancer.
And the numbers are staggering. What did I read? 22,000
in the country
will
yes.
be diagnosed and 14,000 will be lost.
Yeah.
That's more than half.
It is.
Okay. All right. And then what are you doing on the national level?
On the federal level, again, we work with the Ovarian Cancer Research Fund Alliance. They work very closely with Capitol Hill. There a lot of research money comes from the Department of Defense. Mm-hmm. There's an Ovarian Cancer Research Fund. So we go every year and we advocate for at least to keep the funding sustained, if not get more funding. Mm. And they also.
So what is the funding? It is being funded by several different places?
There is so much money that goes into all cancers.
Yes.
But, you know, it comes from the federal government. It comes from private funding.
Mm.
You know, it's all over the billions that we spend.
Mm. How do you remain focused? Like, there's so much on your plate. How are you remaining? You're just driven?
Yeah, it's driven. And sadly, because of the nature of the work, I keep losing. When I start to kind of settle into a groove, I lose someone else. And most of them are advocates themselves, or they've at least, you know, been kind of passionate about the cause, and they keep me fired up.
Yes.
These are my seven.
Oh, people that you've lost.
That I've lost.
Now, what is behind the teal?
Is there teal is the color for ovarian cancer. Pink is for breast cancer. Teal is the color for ovarian cancer.
Okay. And they're just choosing colors because eventually we're just going to run out of colors.
Well, no. Yeah, and teal's the color for several. So, yeah, you're right. There's, you can only have so many colors.
Okay. All right. So there is funding. You're working hard. It's ovariancancer101.org. I think we got to go to break. Yes. So hopefully you'll stay with us. My guest is Diane Riche, and it's ovariancancer101.org for more information. She is all about getting awareness out there to save more lives, really. So hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD.
Do you want to be in control of your financial future? Meridian Financial Service, along with its sister company, Mary Hurdle CPA, provides financial solutions so you can plan for your family's future. Working with a certified financial planner in conjunction with a CPA can help you obtain this goal. For more information, visit meridianfinancialservice.com. At Meridian, we provide the highest levels of financial planning, money management, accounting, and tax services. Contact us at meridianfinancialservice.com to start planning today.
When faced with conflict, many people turn to court and expensive litigation, but there is a better way. At Whole Family Law and Mediation, they help their clients resolve conflict out of court using mediation and collaborative law. Couples can efficiently come to an agreement while preserving their emotional and financial resources and protecting their families. Whole Family Law and Mediation. Compassion, collaboration, resolution. Contact them today to see if mediation or collaborative law is right for you at wholefamilylaw.com.
Back. You are listening to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and my guest is Diane Riche, and she has created ovariancancer101.org. And, I love that song.
It's beautiful.
It is amazing. Even the Katy Perry song, Rise, it's amazing. This one, just don't give up. I won't give up. And you really have to mentally get fired up.
You do.
You have to mentally, and it's emotional as much as it is physical. So you have to really pull your every ounce of strength that you can together. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I want to go back to the statistics because there were some others that we didn't mention. 80% of women go undiagnosed. And obviously we mentioned ovarian cancer is known as the silent killer. 59%, only 59% are correctly diagnosed, and 41% are treated for the other conditions that we talked about. And then 90% is the cancers have developed in the thin layer of tissue that covers the ovaries, which generally occurs in postmenopausal women. So there's a ton of information that you need to be aware of.
You do. And it's, again, it's one of those things I think kind of fitting for, you know, Women Revealed is women don't pay, they don't focus necessarily on themselves like they need to. And being subtle symptoms, you tend to put them off because you're busy.
And we're
you're
taking care of everybody else.
And you're, mm-hmm. you have a career that you... So you tend to put those little aches and pains to the side. And so it's, to me, it's very important that women need to stop and just take a couple minutes for themselves and recognize that something could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. I know. And I myself, I'm trying to, you know, I'm working at it to give myself time and listen to me and do every, you know, start my day with me rather than everybody else.
It's hard. It's very hard to do.
It's like it's in our DNA.
I think it is.
Like, we can't help it, you know? But so some of the things that you're providing for support, tell me about the Survivors Teaching Students. What is that about?
That's through the Ovarian Cancer Research Fund Alliance, and I work the New England region. And what the program does is take ovarian cancer survivors into medical classrooms to share their stories. There's usually three survivors, goes in and talks to, you know, classroom of students, shares their stories, and then does some question and answers. And it's very important because, you know, these students get all of their textbook reading, and they might get a paragraph or two about ovarian cancer.
Really?
It's kind of alarming. But so, you know, and we get a lot of great feedback. You know, we do a quick pre and post survey, and the students really talk about how valuable this method is for learning. You know, to be able to put a face to the disease and hear things that they didn't know before.
And really, when you do put the face to it, it brings the awareness really high up on the list. But I think this is fascinating, and I'm glad that we're mentioning it, because when I read on your website that you were helping bring awareness to medical providers, and I was kind of like, what the heck is she doing with that? I didn't understand. And frankly, it is fascinating that this is what you're doing.
Well, we do it for the students, but we also try to reach out to practicing physicians in our area. Because
it's like you're doing it the other way around.
It's challenging.
Yeah,
but you know, the study
you're not a nurse. You don't have any nurse background.
No, I don't.
Which I also thought was fascinating.
It's a lot of reading. It's a lot of, you know, trying to stay. It's critical to stay on top, and everything changes so much.
Oh, it does. There's always new statistics? What is happening that's changing?
It's new statistics. It's new ways of thinking. Just the study that confirmed that these symptoms existed was released in 2007. You're only talking 10 years ago. So you have a doctor who's been practicing medicine for 30, 40 years. He himself is probably thinking ovarian cancer is still a silent killer.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why we do try to reach out. And
so you're going in and you're teaching the actual students that are in school.
Yes.
And then, so what are you doing with the medical providers?
We try to get information to them, you know, with a nice little package, a letter with some of our information. We ask them to leave information in their way room, because a woman's sitting there and maybe reads it. I know I had my mother read while she was going through it something that had those four.
It would have clicked.
It would have clicked. I have no doubt in my mind, and I've heard many women say that.
So does it go from stage one to stage four really quickly?
Because
you said earlier that you don't have a lot of time.
It seems to, you know, it seems to vary, and there's different forms of ovarian cancer, and some are more aggressive than others. But it's very quick.
Okay. All right. And so you're teaching students, you're teaching the medical providers, and then you're referring women. So you're referring women to gynecologic oncologists.
We don't do the direct referrals, but
okay,
we do try to teach, again, doctors, anytime a woman is diagnosed with ovarian cancer, she needs to be referred to a gynecologic oncologist. I mean, they need to do the first surgery.
So it's not a regular OBGYN.
No, it should not be. They can make the diagnosis, but because of the nature and how ovarian cancer spreads, that first surgery needs to be as successful as possible to get all visible disease out.
Okay.
So you want to go to a doctor that this is what they do.
Okay.
All right. It gives a woman the best shot for survival.
Well, you preempted me to make my OBGYN appointment, that's for sure. So you do need volunteer speakers. You are looking for speakers.
We're always looking for survivors to share their stories.
Okay. All right. Or even a friend of a survivor or a family.
Sometimes caretakers, yeah. Yeah, some caretakers. I will occasionally present my story. As a survivor, you know, as a caretaker, as you know, going through this, what I did with my mom. But the survivors seem to really leave the impact on the students.
Okay, and where do you want to give these presentations? What is the ideal venue?
Right now, it's a very formatted program, and we do it at Tufts Medical Center in Boston.
Okay.
And we do it at UConn. And the Dempsey Center up in Lewiston, Maine.
Oh, okay. But you are going into churches and you are going into the local community.
Yes.
Okay. And then you're providing a resource guide that has covering all of the facts. So these are the types of things you're leaving in the doctor's offices and the different venues locally.
Right. And we also do, for the resource guide, we put it into our bags of hope. And we distribute those to women who are newly diagnosed with ovarian cancer.
And bags of hope.
They have blankets and comfort. And
this is a example of one of the things you wanted to do that you might not have been able to do with the other organizations that you're kind of affiliated with.
Exactly. It was,
okay.
We live in a little pocket. Most of our women who are treated locally don't have the level of support and resources that they might have in the bigger cities and things. Mm-hmm. So we felt it important to give them some things of comfort, let them know they're not alone. And we've done a lot of research to track down various resources for them.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaning programs, child care, financial assistance.
Okay.
So hopefully it makes their journey a little bit easier.
Well, we are out of time. And I'm really proud to have you here today. It is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. Please go to ovariancancer101.org. Help spread the word. Keep it top of mind. If you're hearing your girlfriend talk about some of these signs, kind of point her in the direction of Diane Riche. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I want to thank you all for listening. I hope you will tune in next Sunday after the news at noon. Until then, I'm your host, Nicole Perry. Have a great week. And remember, knowledge is power.